Cabin Fever friends, it's me, Kate Monahan, and this is my sometimes brutally honest isolation diaries, my safe space to offload how I really am feeling in this challenging, to put it lightly, time of life with the coronavirus outbreak. I've got EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a chronic pain condition which affects all my joints. So I use a wheelchair when out and about, which is obviously very little at the moment. And I've been in isolation for at least 2 weeks now with my wife, Holly. My EDS doesn't mean we have to be in isolation, but my wife, Holly, has had a kidney transplant and she is taking immunosuppressants, which means she has no immune system. So she is at a very high risk. So yeah, we're here in our house together with our three-year-old daughter. About 2 weeks ago, we went into quite a strict isolation period. We've barely left our house at all since then. So we're kind of a few weeks ahead of the rest of you guys in the UK, dealing with surviving what feels like being under house arrest. And my recording stuff hasn't left my side this past week because I've experienced probably the most, well, one of the biggest emotional roller coasters of my life. And it's actually become a bit of a comfort to know that even at my most challenging moments, I do get to share it all with you guys. Saturday, yeah. Feeling good. It's Saturday. I think maybe there's something, sorry, I'm just probably super unprofessional, but I'm emptying the dishwasher as I speak to you. That's how exciting my life is. Yeah, I feel better today. Maybe it's because it's the weekend and there's like not the pressure to have to do work, or maybe it's because this is more like how life would be anyway on a Saturday. It makes me feel a bit better. I feel good. We've pretty much done a whole week of isolation now, so that's a week done. Obviously delighted about, so 1 week down, 11 weeks to go. I mean, I know it's not an exact science, but hopefully that's like one of 12. So a 12th has been completed. And yeah, like we've chilled this morning. We're much more relaxed about, you know, like Scout being allowed to come downstairs in her pyjamas, which we haven't done before, and that kind of stuff. And also, like, this might sound a bit mean, and I apologise if it does, but normally if I am out and not able to do anything on, you know, like having to stay home and stuff on a weekend, then the weekends are like the worst time because I'm always a bit miserable. Everyone's out having fun, everyone's doing stuff. But no, not this time, my friend. This time everyone is in the same boat. Everyone's not miserable together. That would be unfair, but everyone is doing the same thing. Everyone's like around us, just kind of hanging out, not really doing anything. There's not loads of pictures on social media of people having fun, so that's great. Instead, it's kind of, you know, everyone's the same spirit, like, oh, we're all gonna stay in and not do very much. And yeah, so I'm feeling all right, feeling relaxed and positive, and long may this continue. We have quite an eclectic mix of people who live on our road, and one of the dads of one of Scout's best friends is called Jude, and he lives almost opposite us, and his dad decided that on Sunday afternoon would be the good time to have a sing-along. So we were just sitting in our garden and we suddenly heard some singing. And Scout immediately wanted to go and find out what was going on. So we took her to find out. Right,
There's lots of people watching him.
Maybe, let's go and see. We can hear some music. So go to the end of the road and see what's happening.
I'm mechanical.
You're mechanical, yeah, because you've got your screwdriver.
Aren't I?
You are.
What a dabble.
Hi.
See where the music's coming from.
And then Mummy.
Hi. I'll do a video.
Everything is gonna be alright. Say don't worry about a thing. Cause every little thing is gonna be alright.
Thank you.
I find it so much easier to talk about my physical disabilities than my mental health ones, but I was thinking about it today because I have been in therapy for 10 years, or I was in therapy for 10 years. I finally graduated last summer. Did you ever graduate from therapy? I don't know. I finished with my therapist that I'd seen for 10 years in the summer, and it felt like a huge achievement. But I was every week I would try and think of an excuse not to go to therapy, and I would be trying not to go, even though I needed it, and even though deep down I really enjoyed it, I still didn't actually want to have to go. So I used to spend so much of my time trying to come up with excuses as to why I couldn't go to therapy. And honestly, if I was still having therapy, I would be so happy right now, because I'd be so sorry, I'm in isolation, can't do therapy for the next 12 weeks. And I'd been delighted with that fact. It is so funny. I don't know if any of you guys, if you have therapy, if you kind of want to go and don't want to go at the same time, because she wouldn't have been able to challenge me on it. She'd have been oh yeah, you definitely can't come to therapy. That's interesting. So yeah, anyway, but I went to therapy because I have a diagnosis of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which has affected me for a really long time, obviously, hence the 12 years in therapy. And it manifests itself in me in mainly in anxiety and my responses to stuff, really. And yeah, that's why my mental health does suffer a bit when stuff like this is going on. And it's why I need to try and find a way to exercise, because I find exercise helps my mental health, even though normally I can only do a small amount of it. But also one thing that I find I really need for my mental health is space and quiet. And normally I find that by going and sitting in a coffee shop with a book or a laptop, or just something, with a nice cup of coffee, and being away and out of my house for a bit. And that is now not possible either. So the question is, how do I recreate that in my home? It's so difficult, because even trying to find 5 minutes to record by myself when my daughter isn't yelling at me to go and get her something, or my wife isn't telling me to go and do a job for her, or something isn't going on, is impossible. So to try and get an hour to myself, that's never going to happen. So yeah, it's really tricky. And obviously with, the extra pressure that's being put on me now is quite hard, because the anxiety around Holly and her health is sometimes overwhelming. And I don't know, every time I leave the house now, which is very infrequent, but I need to try and get out of the house just to take Scout out for a 5 minute walk or something, I feel awful about coming back in, because I just think, all I can think to myself is I'm bringing bugs back in the house, I'm going to infect Holly, and am I doing the right thing, and all of this kind of stuff. And it's just so anxiety provoking that I really am trying to be wary of looking after my head as well as looking after my body. Maybe that will involve more chocolate. There's quite a theme to this podcast, which is generally about me eating a lot of sugary stuff, which I probably shouldn't, but what are you gonna do when you're isolated in your house? There's really only one thing to do, and that's eat a lot. I don't drink, so eating is my main vice. I'm gonna come out of this the size of a house, and I'm okay with that. So it's Sunday and it's Mother's Day, and normally we would be seeing one of our parents, one of our mothers, this weekend. It was Holly's mum was supposed to be up with us, and that's now obviously not happened. You can't really properly celebrate anything, can you? It's just such a shame. And I know my mum, She likes Mother's Day. She likes some of us to be around her on Mother's Day. You know, it means a lot to her. So not being able to do that is really difficult. And yeah, it's just really hard. Like, this whole thing is really hard. The worst thing, though, about today is I'm starting to hear rumours on Facebook. People are posting in the transplant. You know, obviously, we have a lot of friends in the, like, transplant community, because we know a lot of people who've had various transplants, you know, kidneys and lungs and all sorts. And they're all starting to post that the government are going to tell us from, like, tomorrow that anyone who has had a transplant will be told to stay indoors for like 12 weeks, and that we're going to get that text or letter or something soon. And so loads of people have been posting about it on Facebook. Sorry, that's me drinking my cup of tea. You can probably hear the clink. Yes, my love? Can you have Weetabix? Okay, give me 2 seconds and I'll come down. Oh, the joys of being a mother. Honestly, your child wants Weetabix at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's crackers. Anyway, so yeah, we're starting to get wind that something's going on, that people who were already identified as vulnerable are going to be put onto some kind of like high risk list and be told to isolate for 12 weeks, which is what we're doing. But we, like, oh God. It's like we set the clock back again. You know, we'd already done a week, and now what? It's going to be another 12 weeks. We're feeling good about doing a week. I really hope this isn't quite, like, true, but I just guess that it is going to be true. Oh, nightmare. Right, Holly just texted me from, she's upstairs, I'm downstairs, and she just said she's got the text. She's just with my daughter, well, our daughter, in the bus. So I'm just going to ask her what the text says. Hey.
Hey.
You've got loads of water in the bath.
No. I'll mix it in.
It's not working okay. Right now.
All right, you mix it in. Okay, that's enough now. Okay, so tell me what the text says.
It says, we have identified that you're someone at risk of severe illness if you catch coronavirus. Please remain at home for a minimum of 12 weeks. Home is the safest place for you. Staying in helps you stay well, and that'll help the NHS too. You can open a window, but do not leave your home and stay 3 steps away from others indoors. Wash your hands more often for at least 20 seconds. And then it's got a link to other things. What do we mean by extremely vulnerable? Number one, organ transplant recipients. Yeah, it's quite weird.
How do you feel?
Feel a bit down about it, to be honest. Because when I'm in the bubble of my house, you know, for quite a nice day, being out in the garden, looking after scouts, that kind of thing, and, you know, I've been feeling good, and then suddenly you get this text that reminds you that, you know, you're in pretty much the...
I think we should be careful because Scout's here. Like, she can pick up on this.
So, I'll see you later then.
Because she will listen to all of this, won't she?
Yeah, then maybe we should record it later.
Don't you think? Like, we can talk a little bit about it.
I can't talk very candidly then.
No, I know.
But obviously, you know, you read it and you remember that you're very, very vulnerable. And it literally could, you know, kill you, and that's pretty scary. Because
are we supposed to be staying away right now? Because I'm sort of leaning into you.
Yeah, you should be 3 meters. According to this text, you should be 3 meters away.
Did it say 3 meters or 3 feet?
Oh, 3 steps.
Oh, okay, 3 steps.
But still,
how are you gonna keep Scout 3 steps away from you?
What, without breaking her heart?
Yeah. Going out, like doing anything, so that we can stay close to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
you said you can open a window, and that kind of infers that you shouldn't be in your garden.
Can you be in... You're not allowed... Surely you can be in the garden. Surely.
I don't know.
Okay, so hopefully the child is now asleep, or on her way to sleep anyway. Sorry for cutting you short earlier, Holly. Just realised we were getting... Sorry, I was climbing into bed. to sit next to my wife. I just realised we were getting a bit deep and that Scout's 3.5, not too far off 4 now, and she just kind of, she'll hear everything, won't she?
Yeah, she picks up on everything.
Yeah, so it might be best us not talking about our fears about you dying when she can hear us, because otherwise that is going to increase her anxiety at an already anxious time for her. So yeah, go on, how are you feeling?
Well, you know, as we were saying, I've just got the text saying I've been identified as someone at risk of severe illness.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it kind of caught me off guard because I've had quite a nice day. You know, I haven't left the house, but, you know, I've been in the garden. It's been really sunny. And I've been enjoying doing a bit of homeschooling with Scout and playing outside and
stuff.
But
why did it catch you off guard? Because we knew last night after...
Yeah, I just hadn't been thinking of it because I hadn't, you know...
We listened to Boris talking last night. We heard rumours...
I don't know, it was just, you know, you get this text and it just gave me a shock because it's like, oh, hi, you might die, so don't go outside, you can open a window. And I was a bit like, oh, God, there it is in black and white, there it is in writing. And obviously, day-to-day life, I don't think of myself as a very vulnerable person at all. I lead a pretty normal life, you know? Yeah. So to be put in this category... that I feel like in normal day-to-day life I don't belong to, it just feels really weird and quite scary. It's made me feel a bit more anxious. And although I haven't left the house, I've been in the garden. I don't know if that's okay anymore. I hope it is.
And surely the garden's okay.
I've been having conversations with neighbours from like across the road, like literally probably, I don't know, 5 metres away. But that now I think, is that too... You know, should I just be sitting inside, indoors? And it also states that I should be 3 steps away from everyone in my house. That would be impossible.
Yeah, it says we should be sleeping apart, we should be using different bathrooms, we shouldn't be cooking at the same time, like preparing food at the same time. I mean, that's just not...
It's not really feasible, is it? I mean,
no.
You know, we're doing our very best. So I'm... You know, apparently Boris is doing an announcement in about 20 minutes' time. We're expecting it to be full lockdown.
Well, at least everyone's in the same boat then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I have no idea how they're going to enforce it. Yeah, I mean, we've already done a week of this, so a lot of people today have been, oh, it's day one and stuff, and we're like, oh, it's day nine. And actually, I think it's going okay. Absolutely, yeah. I think if we can keep in the garden, we're lucky enough to have quite a decent garden, then...
It's not huge, though. It's just fine.
No, it's not huge at all, but it's... I mean, some people have no gardens.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying... Yeah, no.
I think, you know, we lived for years without a garden, didn't we? And it's still quite a novelty to me.
Yeah, it's because when we were in London, we had no garden. Can you imagine living in that flat in London?
Yeah, but that's what millions of people are doing.
Yeah. I really feel for anyone. Like, my best friend... She lives at the top of a 14-floor building, and they've got like the tiniest bit of outside space, and it's not safe because it's like a balcony that's too windy. They're going to be, if it does go into lockdown, they're going to be stuck in that flat for days, weeks, with 2 children. So yeah, in the grand scheme of things, we're lucky to have what we've got.
Mm.
Okay, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've just come downstairs because I cannot sleep. I'm feeling pretty stressed, and I need to like stress eat, basically, I think. Yeah, so today Hol's got the text saying that she's, you know, one of the most vulnerable people. And, then we decided to watch Boris telling us that nobody should go outside. Oh, God, that's a cough. Panic. I'm going to need to eat more chocolate. Anyway, oh, jeez, that's just a normal cough, isn't it? Just a regular cough. Totally fine. Not stressing about that cough at all. That is just a regular cough. Anyway, yes, we decided to listen to Boris, and I decided that because of my anxiety, I would take a fully prescribed diazepam in order to help deal with the anxiety that was more than likely going to come from said announcement from Boris. So I did that, and that helped a bit, and then it more must have weared off, warded off, and because I cannot sleep, and I've got, that's just me closing the chocolate donut box, by the way, that somebody brought round to us the other day. Like I said, very kind neighbours. So now I can't sleep, and I've come downstairs, and I have this terrible habit of stress eating, and, like, I'm just about to do more of it. Such a bad idea, but I'm just gonna do it, because it's the only thing that I can think of to help me feel a bit better right now. But don't tell Holly, because she gets really annoyed when I get up in the night and stress eats. So yeah, no, this is just between us. Oh, and pro tip for you, by the way. If you've got a donut that's a bit old, you've had it a few days, don't throw it away thinking that that's no good. Ow! Put it in the microwave. Because once you warm it up, that donut is good to go. Nobody slept well last night. Scout was up until about 10. Obviously, I was up until really late. So everyone is feeling grumpy and tired and a bit miserable today. So, great. But the sun is shining and we have a garden, so maybe if we get outside this morning. Although, actually, I've got loads of work to do. I'm so sorry. So, if we can maybe get Scout outside. But the mood she's in, unlikely, but we will try. So I think we can safely say it's been quite a testing week, and we've still got at least, well, I thought like 10 weeks left, but then Holly got the text this week, so then that's another 12 weeks. So is it 11 weeks? I have no idea. I don't even know how long left in isolation. Like, if it's even 12 weeks, I mean, part of me thinks it's going to be longer than 12 weeks anyway. So we've still got a long time left in isolation. So if you want to reach out to me or the team, please email my producer, Amy Elizabeth, amy.elizabeth@bbc.co.uk. That's spelled A-M-Y for Amy. If you're feeling particularly lonely or frustrated, or you've got something that's grating on you, please do share, because it's probably grating on me too, and it'd be great to hear other people in the same boat. Or if you've just got advice on how to navigate this really tricky time, or how to keep a very energetic three-year-old entertained, also get in touch, because I will thank you forever if you can even give us 5 minutes of peace. Just pop it in an email. I mean, at least the one thing we've got more now of that is time, hey? The pressure is certainly ramping up, and I'll be keeping my recording stuff right next to me every step of the way to let you know exactly how I'm feeling. Have I been too honest? Probably, but I feel like it's probably just going to get even more brutally real. So I look forward to speaking to you more for episode 3.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.